Welcome to...
Welcome to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How are you this morning? Today is November the 9th of 2022. We have, 15 days before Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
15 days before Thanksgiving. We also have
What day is Thanksgiving?
I think it's the 24th.
The 20th, I'll be 66.
Oh, okay. You will. Your birthday. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. And all of you who have birthdays in November, happy birthday to you. Thank you for tuning in once again to A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app on any electronic device and search TuneIn, okay? And then type in WWGH. You can find that app in your Play Store or just your App Store.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what type of phone that you have. Okay, we would love for you to have advantage or take advantage of the many talk show programs we have to offer you. Or you can call in during this live broadcast today until 12 noon, okay? The telephone number here is 740-383-9944. That's in case you want to make any comments or ask any questions of myself or my guest. Okay, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, and that starts with Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee. The location is LaRue, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-262-0939. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement is every third Saturday of every month, free produce at Logos Christian Ministries. It starts November the 19th, 12 noon until 2 p.m. They also have another announcement. They will be having the IMA, which is the Ministerial Association, will be having their annual Thanksgiving dinner. This will take place at Logos on the 23rd. It's a drive-through, I'm sure. It begins at 11 until 2 p.m. I don't have the flyer, but you may be able to find it on their website. www.logoschristianministries.com. And don't forget, let other people know. They used to have this great dinner at the rec center on West Church Street. But I think since COVID, they have changed this. So now it's going to be a drive-thru at Logos Christian Ministries. And that address, once again, is 582 Lee Street. Last but not least, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. And thank you, those of you who faithfully listen to A Voice of a People. Thank you for your support. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully, you can share with others that you know about this program, especially if it inspires you or you just like our company. Thank you once again. And if it's your first time, I pray it won't be your last time. Okay? Now, I have a thought today, which I like to start my shows off with a thought for today. This is titled Treasure Every Moment. I thought this was so profound this morning. Treasure every moment that you have, and treasure it more because you shared it with someone special. Special enough to spend your time. Remember that time waits for no one. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow, a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it is called the present. like right now. So let us lift up our heads and enjoy this blessed day that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has blessed us with, and the many things that will unfold today. Because we don't even know what the next second holds. So let us be thankful. And give thanks in all things, good or bad. Okay, I'm going to turn my attention to my guest today.
Can I borrow your reading glasses?
Yes. Oh, you couldn't find yours, huh? Okay.
Oh, these are a little more fancy.
Our faithful...
They got a little design on them.
Yeah, leopard. But that's Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days. Thanking him so much for his time and energy that he spends here with us.
I'm glad to come here.
Thank you so much, Jeff. So well, how you been?
I've been a lot better. So I just do a lot more praying. Say, Lord, keep me out of the hospital. I don't want to ever go back in there.
Right, right.
You know, I don't like being stabbed and cut.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to start carrying extra glasses with me. I get access at church.
I could bring some in here.
Yeah, that might work.
That would probably be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We were talking about salvation. There's something, John chapter 11, starting with verse 1 here. There's something very profound about the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, though. And that is God's timing. His method of doing things that we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened with Lazarus. You know, the people came to him, and Lazarus was apparently a good friend of Jesus.
Right.
And they said, Lazarus is sick, about ready to die. Come and heal him, you know. Jesus said, well, I think I'll hang around here for a while, then go. And they went, what?
Go ahead, I have another pair in the car.
Oh.
My glasses.
And they couldn't understand that, you know. So he waited for 2 days in the same place where he was. So apparently it was a little bit of a jaunt to get to where Lazarus was. And so I'll start with verse 1. John chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Let's kind of keep stuff like this in mind when it comes to healing. You know, we ask God for healing, and he doesn't always heal right away, or he doesn't always heal somebody at all sometimes. So we have to trust his wisdom and his timing. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go and that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but he thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. He stayed away from Lazarus and let him die so that they couldn't accuse him of anything. You know, so the world couldn't accuse him of anything, so he could go there and raise him from the dead And they had, and here he is, like, dead for 2 or 3 days. And it was to show that he really was dead and that Jesus had raised him from the dead. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary still sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. They knew that he could heal, and they thought he should come there and heal him before he died. I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, this is what people misunderstand and misconstrue Jesus. Martha said unto him, I know that thou say he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. One of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come unto the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, following her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. Then Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, he and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? Then they say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews behold how he had loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him, was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me also always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when Jesus thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound him and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them that the things that Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, the same year said unto them, You know nothing at all, nor consider what is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation perisheth not. And this he spoke not of himself, being a high priest that year. He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went he thence unto a city near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And Jesus and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye? Ye will not come to the feast. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, and they might take him. So Jesus not only gave his life, but while he was alive, he gave up his comfort a lot of times, because there's some, the scribes and the Pharisees were always stirring up conspiracies to try to kill him. And he had to get up and walk away or go somewhere, or stay awake all night, whatever it is he had to do to survive. But we were talking about salvation. Now, no man can come to the Father unless the Father draw him. There's been a lot of controversy as to what that means, but I think God is constantly drawing everyone to himself, you know. And you have to be sensitive to that drawing, to be drawn unto him. But I was talking about the timing of God. There's a timing of God even in your personal salvation. You know, I remember I almost got saved because, you remember I was talking about The Exorcist, how bad it scared me. Well, there was this guy in my communications section. He's a black guy, and he had gone to some kind of Christian meeting and had gotten saved. And I was so petrified during that time and so messed up and homesick and all this stuff in the army, that I started talking to him about Christ. And I was thinking about, I think I asked him, how does a person become a Christian? You know, I didn't know exactly how to ask this question, you know. I said, it seems like you're always in a good mood or whatever, you know. So I would like to know how you do this. And, you know, it was kind of crazy. The answer he gave me was like, well, you know what to do. And I said, well, I wouldn't have asked if I knew what to do, man, you know. And he never did offer to pray the sinner's prayer with me or anything. So I think my salvation had a day on the calendar and a year. And God was going to have me get saved at that time. But I was pretty much, I was an atheist up until the time that I got involved in the occult. So I think that's why The Exorcist scared me so bad, because I was just starting to mess around with the occult at the time, you know, with my American Indian friend. I thought that was so cool, but really I was just searching. I was searching for the truth about life. I want to know what life is all about. I don't want to just go drifting through life with no purpose, no understanding of anything. I wanted to know what it's all about.
Of course.
You know. So I had a lot more searching to do before I got saved, because if I had gotten saved before I got some of those questions answered, I don't think I would have lasted long as a Christian. Because I remember I went to a church for a long time as a kid, and that asking questions is not something they do, and they don't answer questions either.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? And it just seems so shallow to me. It's like, well, these religious people, they don't have much depth to them, you know. They don't ask any questions. They're not critical of anything. They may have a political agenda or something like that, but even then, they're not that deep, you know. So I remember when I went in the army, I ran into Mike, who is an American Indian, and he seemed to have that depth that I was looking for. I look back on it, it's a good thing I didn't know then what I know now, because he was really, he wasn't for real. He just seemed to have that depth, you know. But, and he told me all kinds of things, you know, that he could project himself out of his body and float around. I was kind of like having my cult experience with one person, you know. I thought he was some kind of guru or something. I hung around him for a long time.
He inspired you, huh?
I would lay on my bunk a lot of time during my bed, real stiff-like, and just lay there and try to relax and allow myself to float out of my body. But
did you ever, what they call that, levitation?
Astral projection.
Astral projection. Did that happen for you, too?
Once. There was really? One time that I really knew it happened, for real. I was doing this in the barracks, and I was trying to relax and concentrate and coming out of my body, and I did. I came out of my body.
Oh, my.
I floated up to the ceiling. And I remember, it was so, and I can remember it today, like it was, happened yesterday. And then I decided I wanted to go this way, you know, so I went this way, I went through the locker, and I went down beside this guy that was writing a letter. And, but I remember that the body calls you back. It wants you to come back.
Really?
Yeah. And it was very hard to stay out. So eventually I just went back in, you know.
But how did you feel, though, when you were out of your body? How did you feel? Like, could you did you have any feelings internally other than your body?
You feel the same, only you're not held down by physical objects. You can go right through them, you know.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now, this is an occult practice. It's not a good thing to be trying.
Right. Well, I had no intentions, really.
Well, don't be trying that.
I have fear of heights anyway.
Well, my big thing was, see, Mike was always talking about leaving your body and traveling around. I wanted to do some goofy stuff, you know, maybe project myself into a women's locker room or something. But what I really wanted to do was travel in outer space. You know, go way out somewhere, maybe all over our galaxy, see if there's any life out there. You know, but space travel was my big thing back then. Oh, my gosh. I want to be able to travel through space. And but that's the only time that I really knew that I could do that. That once, that's the only time I was ever able to do it. Mm. You know. And I was so fascinated with that subject. And I got transferred to Germany. And I was in mechanized infantry in Germany, and so not being able to get it accomplished, I just kind of slowly faded out from it. But in the occult, it's a very real thing, something that people can really do. And I remember reading this story about this woman. She was she had gotten involved in Satanism because she was deformed. Her lower jaw was like, I think her lower jaw was kind of missing, and they had to build one on, and it didn't look right. And then people were always making fun of her, so she got involved in the occult and Satanism. And one time they were all gathered around. Now there was some controversy as to whether this story was true or not, but it'd be a good example of what could happen. And she got together with her other Satanist friends, and they made a big circle of seance. And they did a lot of astral projection. And they were going to go out and attack this Christian family that lived out on a farm a ways away. So they did that. They left their bodies, and they went flying over there to attack this family. And when they got there, that farm was surrounded by angels. And the angels said, come on, try to get through here. Come on, give it a shot, you know. And she tried it a couple times. She just bounced off of them, you know. So they were never able to get through those angels. to get to that family, you know.
Right.
Here's something that happened. I doubt if that family ever had a clue that anything like that ever happened, you know. So that was an interesting part of that. But Mike did play a role. Later on, after I got out of the Army and I went home, I was in a car accident. I was drinking pretty heavy at the time. And I went to Bucyrus and got drunk, went to the discos and stuff, you know. And was coming back from Bucyrus to Marion, and my friend was driving way too fast. He got over into the berm and then shot straight across the road, hit a telephone pole and a sign, and flipped over. And, of course, they took us to the hospital. I just had a little cut on my hand. The car was destroyed. But I felt the presence of God in that car. Very strong. You know, and it just felt like everything was going to be all right, which it was. Except for the poor car. And later on, I got in touch with Mike. We talked quite a bit on the phone. And he said his mother was going to bring him up there, so she brought him to Marion. And he told me then that he had accepted Christ. And I thought, wow, that's strange for him, because he was so... American Indians, you know, they've got an attitude about Christ because they consider him a white man god, you know, and they're not gonna conform. So, but there's a few things that happened to him as a result of searching too, and he got saved, and then, but you know, he still hung on to some of his American Indian beliefs, you know. But we went to McDonald's to have coffee, and I was sitting there talking to him. I told him about how I felt the presence of Christ in that car when we were going to have that accident. And I said, yeah, I believe he protected me and my friend from any harm during that time. And he went up to get us some refills on our coffee, and I felt the presence of God about the same way I did when I was in the car. Very strong. And I could feel him knocking at my door, you know. And he said, Jeff, you've overturned every rock of inquiry, you know, and I've answered all your questions. So why don't you just let me in? And I did. I let him in. And it just, his presence came flooding into my heart and my life. That's how I got saved. But like I said, that was God's timing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what Ecclesiastes tells us. There's a time for everything. Time to mourn, time to cry, time to be lost, time to be saved, you know.
Yeah.
Time to lie down and sleep, time to get up. You know, there's a reason and a time for everything. And like you said, that's when the Lord saved you. Was mm-hmm. Now, did you give your life to Christ as a youth in your younger years?
I think I did, and then I just backslid, got away from it, because I just, after a while, I had this uncle of mine. He was so agnostic, atheist, really, and he was always arguing. If you ever talked to him about the Bible or anything, he would always bring up all these logical arguments against it. You know, and of course, later on, much later on, after I accepted Christ and me and Mike were running around, we ended up on the streets because I just didn't want to just get a job and just work 9 to 5. You know, it just seemed like I was going backwards from what I was trying to figure out, you know. And so I decided to just live by faith. It wasn't easy. Did a lot of starving, but managed to stay alive somehow. And later on, I got off the streets, started working at Myers, and then later on driving city bus. I ran into an apologist, which is a guy that studies the cults, the occult, all the stuff that I had been interested in. His name is Walter Martin. And he wrote a book called The Kingdom of the Cults. And he did lectures. He went around. He was on radio and did a lot of debates and stuff like that. And so he even did a big long lecture about UFOs and how it relates to Christianity and stuff. So, and I remember I talked about that a long time ago. I talked about UFOs and how it relates to our faith and stuff. A lot of people don't think that that Christianity has anything to say about UFOs, but I think it has a lot to say if it would dive into it, research it a little bit. But I found the answers, more answers to my questions again through the study of apologetics, a very important study. Unfortunately, Walter Martin has passed away. Passed away sometime in the 80s. There's other apologetics ministries out there, but you got to be careful these days because everything has fallen away. Probably some of the apologetics people have too, you know. They just don't have a conservative agenda, you know.
Now we started out talking about the miracle of salvation, and you're telling us about salvation, and the scripture that you use was John. The book of John, verse 11, and it talks about the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And I just want to reiterate that that was a resurrection from the old man to the new man.
Yeah.
When God saved you, called you, and you know, and saved you. Because a lot of, like, we have heard from other people, well, you know, like if I walk in the church, the walls will fall, will cave in, or if I get saved, you know, you know, something terrible is going to happen. But, you know, there's nothing farther from the truth than that, because things change. If you really want to be resurrected from the old man to the new man, you have to be willing to receive Christ and what he has to offer. And like you were stating, well, I know I gave my life to Christ when I was like 12 years old. So many bad things happened to me after that. And they don't really, I didn't feel that they really repaired. I mean, not repaired, but
healed.
Not even healed, but educate young people who do receive Christ, who do come up to the altar and say, I give my life to Christ, when they make the altar calls. They do not like teach you what this means, you know, about the old creation gone and the new creation begins this day. So you can't do those things that you used to do. You know, you have to empower yourself with the Word of God to go on and live a holy life, or saved, sanctified life, set apart from the evil as much as you possibly can. And that did not take place. So you're walking around, well, I gave my life to Christ, and you're happy about it,
well,
as
it
a young
time.
Person. Yes, it does take time. Who would have thought it'd take 50 years?
from, that's what it takes, you
yeah,
know?
You know, from that initial coming to the Lord.
Yeah.
And you may, like you said, maybe 50 years down the road, so that may put you at 70, 80 years old.
Well, it
you,
takes all your life to get rid of some
sins. Oh, my gosh. And the attack of the enemy, all those things happened during that time. You had no idea what that means, but it does not mean that you have not been called, and it does not mean that you have not been saved. You may not be walking in it like you want to or think you should, but God has called you.
The gifts come without repentance.
Yes, it does. Wow. And you know, when you said, well, give your testimony, okay. I'm like, which one?
Well, weren't you with Watchtower for a while?
Yeah, I was with Jehovah Witness for a while, you know, and I went to the Holiness Church. My journey, finding God, which I think, you know, I knew I started about 5-6 years old, and I started going to Sunday school. And I remember the first two verses I learned still today. You know, Psalms 23.
Now, was that with Jehovah's Witnesses?
No.
That was regular church?
This was regular church. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you know. I learned that in Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. come before his presence with singing. Mm-hmm. Know ye that the Lord, he is God?
That's right.
It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, wow.
Atheists say that we made him up.
Oh, right. Yeah, we did. We made him up. What an imagination we have, right? To make up God.
Yeah.
And it's just so profound. You know, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter his courts with praise. It's just those things that I still hold dear to my heart, you know, mm-hmm. because it's those things I learned way back then that helped me along my journey and along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I studied with Jehovah Witness, and they said, well, every eye will not see him. Even after Revelation tells you, every eye will see him. When he cracks that sky and it rolls from the east to the west, and we will see the glory of God coming down
mm-hmm.
through the heavens. The Bible, the Word of God, the Word of truth, the only truth that we have on this earth. And people don't realize that either. That is the only truth we have on this earth, because it's not man's mouth, it's not man's way. Oh, bless you. You know, it's God's way and it's God's truth, because he yes. was and is and is to come, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I studied with them maybe 6 months, close to a year, you know. And I had asked, you know, at that time I was married, I had asked my husband to go to church with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why not make this a family thing now, right? So, he went. He went once and got up, let's go. In the middle of the service, let's go. I'm like, what? We just got started, you know. And he says, I don't feel the Spirit of God in this church. He says, let's go.
I'm
like, really? And that's, you know, I never considered that.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't feel the presence of God in a church service, or maybe even in a song, or maybe he's even with you when you go there,
mm-hmm.
right? And I had that to consider. I had that to think about, you know. And then one night, I was reading in Revelation, and I thought, he said, you will be my people and I will be your God. I'm like, now wait a minute, Lord. I hear this. I hear what these people are saying to me. What do you mean you'll be our God? Isn't this a revelation of Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's letting us know, well, I'm coming back to mm-hmm. receive you unto myself. So how is that possible? What are you saying in the scripture? You know, and he was saying, because, you know, Isaiah 9 and 10 said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor,
Emmanuel,
the Mighty God, you know, mm-hmm. Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And then these words, I'm reading them over, you know, Everlasting Father. That means there's no end to this child that was given to us.
Yes.
You know, that was born on the earth. So, this is God. And it's like he's saying, I am God. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I was just blown away. Mm-hmm. Blown away. In my 20s, I was just blown away. And I woke my husband up, who was laying next to me. I said, well, Guess what? And okay, he's groggy, but Jesus is God, you know?
Yeah.
And then he really woke up. He said, Jesus is not God. God has a Father.
Mm.
I said, I don't know how to explain all that right now. But I do know this. He just told me he was God,
mm-hmm.
you know? And he called his grandmother and asked her, just like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, woke mm-hmm. her up. And he says, Mama, is Jesus God? No, Jesus is not God. He has a Father. That's the way she was taught.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people back in those days in church all their lives, you know, singing and praising God and didn't even really know who God was.
Yeah.
You know, and she didn't. And she didn't. And that was her response to the question that he asked her, you know. But in the midst of that, the Spirit falls on us both. Mm-hmm. From that reality, the Spirit just falls. And you could feel it just saturate the room. Like, oh my, that's the Spirit?
Wow.
That's the Spirit of God?
Wow.
What an experience. What an experience. And I had to tell Jehovah Witnesses, I could not continue to study with them because they were telling me so many untruths that was against the Word of God.
Mm.
But if you don't have that as a foundation,
yes,
if you do not accept it as the Word of God,
see,
and
that's
the
what
word
the church
of truth,
needs to do is they need to teach the basics.
Yeah, but you have, you know, like you're talking about the great falling away.
Yeah.
Okay. You have so many people who have fallen away from the faith.
Well, they run to teachers with itching ears.
Yeah, they want to hear something different.
Yeah, they want to hear what they want to hear. So they'll say, you know, we'll reward you handsomely if you'll just say what we want you to say up here. So those pastors are willing to compromise the gospel for money and for praise from the people, accolades, and that's what's important to them. Until the day of judgment, then they'll regret that. But they can't be preaching false doctrine like that. It's going to be really awful when they face God on the day of judgment. So that's why the church has fallen away. And, you know, Joseph Smith, who started the Mormons, he said that there was going to come a day when the Christian church was going to fall away. Well, he was right about one thing. The church does fall away. I think the church is in as bad a shape as it was during Martin Luther's day right now. So, and we have the elections going the way they are. I think the Antichrist is right around the corner. I really do. And that may be a bad thing, but it's also a good thing. It means Jesus is not far off either.
Oh, he's not.
You know?
He's not.
So he's coming soon. But we have the tribulation to go through first. So some people believe in pre-tribulation rapture and all that. I'm not going to go into that right now. But I was talking to a friend of mine not too long ago, maybe a week or so ago, and I was going, well, Trump could get elected if this happens and that happens and so on. And he says, you know what? It doesn't really matter because you and I both know that the Antichrist is right around the corner and that God's going to allow certain things to happen. I especially believe that, like I said before in my book and so on, emphasize the fact that America's going to fall, you know, and I believe it's going to be due to economic collapse. And it'll just blend in with the rest of the one world system.
And we also have to remember this, Jeff. God says, put not your trust in no man.
No.
No man, nor your confidence in princes, like Prince Charles or the President of the United States or the mayor of your city, you know. Put not your trust in man.
That's right.
We have to trust God.
That's right.
Because man is fallen.
Yeah.
We live in a fallen world.
Yes.
No, like, what does that saying say? He that is without sin cast the first stone?
Yeah.
We don't know anyone that's without sin. We don't know anyone on this earth that is perfect and will be in the White House or wherever they go and not make mistakes. We do not know of a person like that exists.
That's true.
You know, and we have to also understand that the government is on God's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
The government is on his shoulders, and he is sovereign. And he allows what he wants to allow, and what he don't want to allow, he does not. It made me think about the children of Israel when they wanted to go back, when God had delivered them from Egypt. They wanted to go back. They remembered all that stuff back there they ate. You know, oh, we want to go back to the leeks and the garlic and when we had all this abundance, you know, when they gave us their scraps and things like that. You know, that's where we want to go back to. You know, and we have to move on in life. We can't keep going back because God is not going backwards. He's going forward.
Yes.
He's going forward. And if we are the church, the body of baptized believers in Christ Jesus, we must go forward. Because we don't want to lose faith. We don't want to lose hope. We don't want to fall back. We want to go forward.
Yes.
Go forward. Because see, we don't know what God has planned. Tomorrow. We don't know. We do not know. So I just, to me, that is an encouragement to other people. You know, let us put our trust in God and not man. Even though we go through our voting and things like that, you know, and we're supposed to be a part of our society and the government. And that's the only way we can be a part. But you know what? Our first hour is up. It's been a good hour. Thank you, Jeff.
Yes, it has.
We will be,
interesting testimony.
Yes, yes. He will be back with us 11:15 to the top of the hour, 12 noon. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you can tune in again. Thank you. God bless.
You're listening to WWGH